Welcome back to another episode of Force Chatter. This week, we have finally a new Star Wars project on Disney Plus, and I don't know, we have some mixed thoughts on that. But we do have another gaming project that just came out that kind of surprised us a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about that too. But first, I'm Eric, and I'm joined tonight by Lou and Tim. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I had a great weekend.
Sure. One up,
and I know, right? I'm doing great.
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks, Tim.
Steamrolled Lou. Yep.
Things are good. Sorry, guys. You know.
Things are good. Well, you should be. You should be sorry that things are so good. All right. I'm pulling up the window on the other monitor here so that I can see the live stream over here, which, by the way, if you're not watching the live stream, you can do that. Go to randomchatter.com/YouTube and you can watch us every weekend. We're here almost every weekend, and you can watch us live. You can hang out in the chat room. Hi, Tech, in the chat room there. He just said greetings. You could be in there too, chatting with us right now. Well, not right now, because now you'll be listening to it later, but next time you could be. So this time we're going to be talking about Star Wars Visions, the new anime project that hit Disney Plus. Now, my experience with anime, other than watching Ghost in the Shell a long time ago and Akira a long time ago and not remembering anything about either one, My experience with anime has been limited. I watched Sword Art Online. I enjoyed it. That's about it. Well, and the Matrix, Animatrix was good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was clearly anime stuff. And very much like Visions, right? It was an anthology series.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought the stories were interesting on that. And the characters.
I thought some were better than others. And the stories in Animatrix were, some of the stories were really, really good. I didn't care for the animation style of a lot of them. But
okay. But
I liked the stories.
The stories were good. And the characters were good. My personal take on Visions, and we'll get to it in just a moment. I don't know that we really need to worry about spoilers, because my biggest problem with the series is kind of the lack of story in a lot of these. So there's not really a lot to spoil anyway. But I think that's where, to me, it's the opposite of Animatrix. Some of this animation I liked better. Some of the stylistic things I thought were better, but it lacked story to me. It felt like a showcase series and not a lot of depth there, but I'm in the minority. Most people liked it. Tim, what did you think about it?
I thought it was really good. Well, some of the styles of animation weren't necessarily my cup of tea. I liked the stories. I thought the stories were all pretty good. You know, a couple of little like weird, funky things, but I mean, this isn't considered canon. They're short stories, basically. And
yes,
you know, so you're not getting an abundance of character development or anything like that. There's usually some kind of touch point in every single one of them that roots you a little bit to Star Wars, like, you know, it's Star Wars. And I liked it. I thought they were good. I thought the stories were a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. Interestingly enough, one of the other comments I was going to make is it didn't root me in Star Wars. It didn't feel like Star Wars.
Okay.
So right off the bat, two very different, diametrically opposed takes on it. Exactly what I thought was missing is exactly what you were excited that it had.
Oh, totally.
So Lou, talk some sense into Tim over here.
I don't know if I can talk sense either one of you, because I haven't finished all the episodes. I've only been through the first two, and at that point I gave up.
Well, the second episode is worthy of giving up on.
The second episode was really tough. And now, granted, I gave up because it was I watched the first one in the morning before I went to work, and I watched the second one at lunch, on my lunch break at work. And at that point I'm like, wow, I'm like, let me just take a breath here and you have to work. And I haven't gone back to it. So that being said, I did work all weekend, so I haven't had a day off. So I didn't really have time to really just power through these. And I will, but I was a bit stopped by that second episode. The whole music thing was like, wow, okay, this is so far outside of Star Wars. I'm not sure what to do with this.
So
it was, the thing is that the second episode, and I think we should not spoil these.
I think we shouldn't spoil it, but I think some of them deserve talking about the individual episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got the list of them up here on my phone to reference. So
yeah. So since Lou was talking about the second episode, which is Tatooine Rhapsody, mm-hmm. and it centers the characters are part of a band, and
the worst band ever.
Yeah, but you know what? Mm. It was a fun story. It was absolutely in universe, and you figure, hey, you know what? Not everyone is wearing white armor or a Jedi or a bounty hunter or whatever. So, I mean, there's like normal people making their way in the galaxy, and this is something they could be doing. And I thought it was just it was a fun episode. There was
Star Wars, like it grounded me in Star Wars more so than most of the other episodes. I'll give you that. But I think Lou's going to say everything I want to say here. Huh?
There was a really dark aspect to this.
Oh, yeah.
Dark but shallow. It was stupid.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. That was harsh, but listen.
Of the anime style I didn't care for with the music I didn't care for was like, wow, okay.
The music was abysmal. Like, the music made Jedi Rocks from the Return of the Jedi Special Edition actually look palatable. Like, it looked like I might not ever fast forward through that again after having had to sit through this.
What did you guys think about the first one?
Let's finish burying the second one first, because it is arguably the worst. In my opinion, it's the worst of all, 9 episodes? The music was bad. Like, I'm sorry, guys who made this. Listen, I respect you guys and thank you for the work you did, for real. The music was bad. And it was a musical episode, so that hurt it. And then, like, we never understood why Jabba wanted the one guy. And then, I'm going to spoil this one. Sorry. They play a song in front of a crowd, and the crowd cheers. And so now they're not going to execute the guy anymore? Huh?
Because Jabba likes money.
Because huts are just so easy to swindle like that.
Reason why Jabba wanted the one was very apparent to me.
So he could make money off of their next hit record, right? Except he also heard them, and he heard how bad they were, and they should have probably been executed mid-song.
Did you see him tapping his tail? He was
impatience. Yes. No, yeah, I saw what they were trying to make him do. And I even saw Boba Fett kind of like tapping along with it. No, they just destroyed everything that was cool about Boba Fett in the course of like 3 seconds.
Boba Fett should have pulled out a blaster and just shot him.
After I got done watching this episode, here was my one thought. As much as I talked about how the episode of Detours that leaked was really subpar, it made me infuriated that we didn't get Detours, because if we had to sit through this.
See, my one thought after that second episode was, oh God, it's over. Thank God.
Well, yeah, there's that too. How do I explain to my kid that I'm a Star Wars fan?
So I will grant that the second episode had the, and I've watched through the first 5 episodes of this. Out of what are there? 9 episodes.
Nine. Yep.
It was out of the first 5. It was definitely the most different of the episodes. I'll also grant the animation style of that one is probably my least favorite out of all of them.
Wait till you get to the 6th.
And it was probably my least favorite story as well.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like we're mostly in agreement. We're just Lou and I are being a little harsher than you are, Tim, and I can understand that. And you know, listen, some people really like that episode.
Fantastic. The first episode like hooked me right out. The only thing that was weird was the lightsaber umbrella,
which some people love that.
Yeah, and I can look past that. I loved the first one. I thought it was really cool, and I know like some people were like, well, they didn't give us like this full story and we didn't know who these characters were. It's fine. we were dropped into the middle of something. We got this little vignette of a story and it was done. That's fine. I don't need a 2.5 hour movie.
We were dropped in the middle of episode four, A New Hope.
Yeah. Yeah. I was fine with the 22 minutes that we got on that one. I thought it was fantastic. It should not have been any longer. I think the duration of it was great. I love that was actually probably my favorite animation between that one and The Ninth Jedi.
Okay.
Were my favorite animations. The first one was cool because it was mostly black and white with like really striking colors.
Yeah.
That popped. I thought that was cool too.
It definitely had a very Kurosawa feel to it. I want to say one thing before we go any further with this. This is really important. The overall fan reaction to Visions has been positive.
Good.
And like Lou just said, good. The fact that it wasn't for me is okay. And the fact that some of it wasn't for Lou and Tim, you probably have some you didn't like as well as others too. That's okay. We keep saying this and coming back to this point over and over again because it's important. We are not supporting any sort of rift in the Star Wars community. We celebrate new Star Wars content. And even though it's not for me, we talked to some people on the Discord server who loved it. And I was excited for those people. Like legitimately, I was happy because they got new Star Wars content that made them happy. It gave them something to celebrate. And I support that. And I think we all do here. And I want to be clear. We're going to talk about some things we didn't like about Visions, but that's just our opinion. And there are a lot of good things about Visions as well. For me, I was really hoping to get, like I said, the Animatrix had interesting stories set in that universe. I was looking for stories. Instead, I got style and presentation. And it was good style and good presentation. It just wasn't what I was looking for. Tim, to your point, the duel, most people seem to, and I agree with this, most people seem to think exactly what you did, that this was the most interesting and kind of visceral art style.
Yeah.
And not just the art, but the way it was animated too, the way it was choreographed, the way the shots were framed and everything, the directing for it. Mm-hmm. I felt like it lacked any interesting story at all, but the presentation was brilliant.
Yeah.
So Lou, given that this is one of the only two that you saw and it didn't involve a big rock concert at the pod racing track, and by big concert I mean one song, if you want to call it a song.
But it was huge. The stands were packed.
Oh yeah. So what did you think of the duel?
I enjoyed it. I thought if this is the way this series is going to go, it's like, this is really good. I mean, it was a little confusing. There was a couple things going on in there that there was like almost three factions in there. We had the Sith, we had the Stormtroopers, we had the Villagers, and I'm like, okay, so who's where? And it was like almost two different stories going on, but I really enjoyed it. I liked the style. I liked the fact that we got dropped into a story that we didn't know anything about, but we learned as we went along, which I think is part of the enjoyment of watching something new. I mean, you got to get into it, so you've got to just jump in with both feet and go along with the characters.
Yeah, which again is true to Star Wars. The first time we saw A New Hope in 1977, we were dropped right in the middle of a chase through space between two starships and a bad guy and a government that already existed in the Senate. And, we didn't know anything about those people.
Yeah.
Same thing. Well, we're going to go through the rest of these. And Lou, because you only saw the first two, feel free to hop in with any questions,
sure.
If you want clarifications on any of our opinions, just interrupt us flat out. And you can kind of be the avatar for the audience members who maybe haven't seen the rest of the episodes yet, who might have questions for us. And then Tim, you said you saw through episode five. I actually watched all the way through the ninth one today before recording. I did 7, 8, and 9. So moving on to the third one, the twins.
Interesting story, and it placed us seemingly before episode 7, I think. At least that's where in my head this ended up, given the look of the canon thing and kind of what was going on. It was an interesting episode. The story was fine. It wasn't bad. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a little weird, but okay. I enjoyed it.
I feel like I don't have to really you're not selling it really hard, so I guess I don't have to jump in. And Yeah, I mean, there were some, Lou, I think you're going to have some, thinking back to our Snake Eyes review of the beginning of Snake Eyes. Yeah, so when you see the two people battling on the outside of a Star Destroyer, not in atmosphere like we saw in Episode 9, which is already hard enough to buy, but like actually out in space.
That was the one thing, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, so just go with it. I don't know what your drink of choice is, but, you know.
But it's also anime, and expect to get some funky, weird things in some anime.
And listen,
that's how it is.
Again, it was one where the presentation was really good. I like the presentation of it. I like some of the design, the ships, the cannon, kind of the dichotomy and the duality between the two twins. That was interesting, and so it presented. I still feel like it was lacking in real story, but at least it had a theme. And I think that the theme was presented in an interesting way, in a meaningful way. I think this was arguably one of the better ones, definitely one of the more memorable ones. And I think mainly, again, because of the designs. And it was another one that felt very Star Wars. Some of these to me did not feel very Star Wars. This one, perhaps because it took place almost exclusively on a Star Destroyer, felt very Star Wars. I would say, what do you think, Tim?
It definitely felt Star Wars. I mean, right from the... So out of the five that I watched, for me, probably third best, yeah.
Okay. Fetmatic in the chat room asked if we watched the behind the scenes. I didn't realize there was one. I'm going to have to go back and...
I didn't either.
...and look now. So on Disney Plus, there are tabs, and on the tabs where you get the list of the episodes, typically to the right of that, you get a couple more tabs, and one is typically extras, additional videos and stuff. I'm guessing that they were in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says check in details. Okay, so we'll do that. We'll go back and check those out, because I think that even the ones we didn't like, this was an interesting, brave project.
Oh, totally.
And even if it's not...
And I liked seeing the different anime styles, the different storytelling, the different focal points, because it's cool to see something that is not even, you know, although these were upfront branded by Lucasfilm, because Lucasfilm commissioned these were not written or designed or made by Lucasfilm. These were inspirations of other people and their perspective on Star Wars, and them playing in that sandbox with their own toys in their own way.
Yeah.
And
it was brave. You know, so like on
some
Lucas.
Of it was, yeah, just like some of it was, you know, imagine like you've got all your Star Wars toys and, you know, you're doing your thing and you're telling a different story, and maybe you bring in like a He-Man character into it. And it's, you know, that's another action figure that you have, but you know what, you're making your own story out of it. And I thought it was really
cool.
And
we did that all the time as kids, like our generation, especially, we didn't have the internet. Video games were just starting to come around, and we're not talking like Nintendo stuff either. We're talking ColecoVision, Intellivision, Atari 2600, like crappy video game systems. Yeah. I had ColecoVision. That was the bomb right there. And Star Wars game, the Star Wars arcade game for ColecoVision was actually pretty good. But anyway, point is, that was our fiction. That was our social networking. We would get our toys. Typically, for boys at the time, it was, and yes, toys were very strictly separated into gender roles and stuff. It was the 70s and 80s. We had Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and He-Man, and Hot Wheels, I guess, and other things. But like action figures, those were the four franchises. And yeah, you're exactly right, Tim. Especially because G.I. Joe and Star Wars had the same scale.
Same scale.
You could kind of cram the G.I. Joe figures into the Star Wars vehicles and vice versa. Yeah, and you made up your own stories. That was your role play. That was, you know, your storytelling, your creative time. And that's kind of exactly what they did here with Visions. I have a lot of respect for them. It was very brave for Lucasfilm to allow this project. It was very brave for the different studios to develop for this. So, you know, kudos for all of that. Even the ones that I didn't care as much for, I'm, you know, good job. This was a good undertaking. That being said, moving on to the fourth one, The Village Bride. This one did not resonate with me at all.
So story for me, it took me a while to figure out what was going on, but that was intentional. That was obviously intentional in it.
Yeah.
What I loved about this is that this was a story of kind of what we expect for the Jedi who are out in the galaxy and they see something wrong happening and they address it. That's basically what this was. This wasn't a Jedi, you know, again, fighting the Empire or, you know, anything massive. It was this in this little village, basically a bully who had some resources that the villagers didn't. And the Jedi went in and fundamentally took care of it. And I thought it was cool. I liked the concept of the story. The animation of this one I liked. It was good. I liked it. Actually, you know what? This is probably my third favorite over Twins.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I liked the animation style of it. The story was okay. I didn't really connect with it. And it's hard to connect with something that's only 15 to 25 minutes long. I get that.
Sure.
Okay. That's fine. So when I say I didn't connect with them, I don't mean like a lifelong bond. I mean, even for, you know, a little vignette. It was okay. I did not dislike this one. I also didn't find it as memorable, though I did prefer this art style over a lot of the others. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to what a lot of people are saying is the best one, and that is The Ninth Jedi. And I thought this one had a strong story. I thought this one had a couple of characters that I immediately connected with and and felt good about. I really liked this one. This is the only one I think that might be one where you might want to not get spoiled so much, which was also weird because there's a little opening at the beginning with the voiceover that I kind of was worried through most of it maybe was going to spoil more than it really did. And I think it still came pretty close. Mm-hmm. I think this was the best one. I don't think it had the best art style. I think the Village Bride's art was better, but the story for this one was strong.
See, the art on Ninth Jedi, I think, was the closest to like Voltron, Legendary Defender, the Netflix series.
That's
very, very similar to it. Mm-hmm. Not the same studio, different studio. But so just because of those similarities, I like it. It's nothing, you know, weird or outrageous. I'm not really a fan of the anime styles that like overly exaggerate a lot of features.
Right.
And so this is pretty good. Village Bride also was very good. Still a little bit different than this. This one's more angular. Village Bride is a little softer.
Village Bride also uses a little bit more shading.
Yeah.
A little bit more depth of color. So it looks a little bit more realistic. I agree with you. The Ninth Jedi definitely is reminiscent of Voltron in a good way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does have that kind of...
As you're talking, I'm looking at the thumbnails here and I can see the Village Bride definitely has that look that I would like to see in anime.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks like the original Voltron from back in the, you know, 90s, 80s, 90s, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like a more modern take on that particular style. I agree. And then the Ninth Jedi looks more like the more modern takes of, like, when you remake something these days, you tend to go more with this style.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you guys aren't there yet, but like looking ahead at the thumbnails here on Disney Plus, TOB1 and The Elder both look like animation styles I want nothing to do with. I know I'm jumping ahead. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I'm with you. Can't wait to talk about those. But the Ninth Jedi, though, I think that this probably more than any of the others was the most Star Wars feeling of any of them. I mean, it's hard to say that over Great the story. Twins, just because, I mean, Twins was on a Star Destroyer. But this is so much better than the Twins overall. I really felt like this was... I think the Duel had the artistic tone and style of the Kurosawa stuff that Star Wars was based on, but the Ninth Jedi really has the heart of Star Wars in it.
Yeah. Ninth Jedi was, at least out of the first five that I watched, the best story.
Yeah.
And probably my favorite out of the first five. I mean, this was my favorite, with the Duel being my second favorite.
I predict it'll be your favorite out of all nine.
Yeah, and they fleshed out more story here. And for as much as I was fine with the Duel not really having a well-established, it had story, it didn't have plot. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the Ninth Jedi was truly a full story, or was a full chapter within a bigger story. And you could see what led up to it, and you could see where it was going, and really excited about it. Fetmatic just said in the chat, Ninth Jedi could be a future series. It absolutely could.
I could agree with that.
I would love to see a series done with that. I thought it was great.
It seemed like it was set in the far future too.
Yes. Yeah.
And that really stood out to me at the beginning. Because they're talking about, like, in the description and in the opening and stuff, they're talking about, like, a sabersmith, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jedi build their own lightsabers. What are you doing? This is heresy. Whoever wrote this doesn't understand Star Wars. And then you figure out, oh, no, this is, like, so far in the future that, like, things have changed. Yeah.
Well, but we also know in Star Wars that, like, the day after Order 66... no one remembers what who Jedi are anyway.
Right. Well, but, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to make some political statements, but I won't. Okay. So moving on. The next one, TOB1, which sounds a lot like Obi-Wan. And if you read it, looks a lot like Toby. Mm. Oh, boy. So this is where we get into the realm of the ones that I've seen that you guys haven't yet. There are four left here. TOB1 was rough. So it's in the animation style of the old Astro Boy stuff. So this was designed for younger kids.
Style I do not like.
Do not want. Do not want.
Wait, was the story at least good?
No.
Okay.
It was... The story would be good for a younger audience because it's very simple and it does a good job of trying to get you to connect with the main character. And there's a lot of little droid characters kind of in the background that almost act like pets on a farm or something. Like it's... like if you're old enough to drive, you're probably not going to like this one. I don't know how else to put it. I'm trying to be fair to it. I think that there's an audience for it. It's just not us. You really have to like this animation style. This is definitely the old classic Astro Boy style, which has a following and has for generations. Like it's a very classic Japanese art style. And some people love it. The story wasn't horrible. It was very simple, very predictable, very bleh. Again, to me, this was very much a presentation one. The next one was The Elder. And Lou, you pointed this out as one where the animation style was also a bit rough. I don't think the animation style was bad.
From the thumbnails I'm seeing, this is a style that I'm fine with.
Yeah, it's not different from the Duel.
The whole episode, but
I think it's okay. A mix between, let's say, the Duel and the Twins.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was okay. The art not like it wasn't stellar to me, but it was fine. I have no complaints about the art. The story was kind of a typical showdown story that, you know, is typical of this sort of thing. It felt like it felt too similar to the Duel, as far as the content, while not being as artistically impressive. So to me, this one was kind of forgettable. Let's see here. Lop and Oko. I don't remember how it's pronounced. This is one where, so you guys remember from Marvel Comics back in the early 80s, the rabbit, right?
Jackson. Jackson's back, by the way, in the Star Wars comics. So,
gosh. And here I did want to catch up on them. This is not Jackson in this anime, but you get kind of another anthropomorphic alien race in one of the main characters. And so the moment I saw it, like right from the opening, I'm like, oh boy, here we go, Jackson part two. But it wasn't. It was okay. And I think that this is another one where they did a good job of making you care about the characters. This one had a plot. I still think the Ninth Jedi was the superior episode of the series, but I would say this one, episode 8, was good. It had a good story. You connected with the characters. I dare say, like, I think I need to watch these again really before ranking any of them, because a lot of them, like, I didn't really, the ones I liked, I didn't really like until near the end, and I kind of want to rewatch a few of them now. This is one I want to rewatch to see if it's my second favorite.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And if not, I'm sure it'll be my third, just again, because the characters and the story were there. And I think that the artwork was fine. And it fit. Yeah, I'd say this is a strong episode. And then finally, number 9, Akakira. I have a gnat flying around here. Akakira, Jedi returns to his forbidden love to help defend her kingdom from a Sith-like shogun. This one was forgettable to me. Like it was okay, but I literally can't remember it. Like, I don't know if I was just so burned out on him by this point or what, which is hard because they're only 15 minutes, but it wasn't bad. It just didn't stand out.
My big question is, and I'd like everyone who has seen the episode to weigh in on this. Did the Ninth Jedi have a Bothan or not?
I'd have to rewatch it. Are you saying that because you saw a Bothan that was reminiscent of Bothans in Legends?
There's a creature that is reminiscent of the Bothans in Legends.
Okay, I'll rewatch it.
Although much larger in stature, but yeah.
Much, much larger, like almost werewolf style larger?
Yes.
Okay, so it could be a, there's a Defel and there's a Shistevin, kind of like a wolfman sort of thing. So there are two other races that could be. I'll go back and rewatch and take a look.
So I just saying, because canonically we have yet to ever see a Bothan.
Canonically.
And this isn't canon either, but we also haven't seen one in any format.
Listen though, you're right. You're absolutely 100% correct. But my opinion on this, which has played out over and over again, and it's not like I came up with this opinion or anything. This is kind of where things have been. If it doesn't contradict Legends when it comes to locations, technology, alien races, and stuff like that, they have almost always gone back and pulled the old stuff back in.
Yeah.
So I have no doubts that when we do see Bothans, they're going to look exactly like the ones from the covers of the novels we had years ago. Like I'd bet money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I gotta say, I almost gave up on it. I definitely almost gave up on it after the second episode. If it hadn't been that we were going to cover it on the podcast, I wouldn't have watched the third. And then by the time I got through the fifth episode, the Ninth Jedi, I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I'll give it another try. And then I got to the episode after it and I'm like, yep, nope, that was a mistake. We're done. Episode 6. Like, it's about as good as episode 2. If you're not going to watch these, don't feel bad about it. If you watch some of them and don't like them, don't feel bad about it. I would say, And there's no reason not to skip around to. There's no reason you have to watch these in order. If you're going to watch all of them, go for it. If you don't think you're liking it, skip to episodes 5 and 8. I would say 1, 5, and 8. Really?
You mean those are the ones to watch?
Those are the ones to watch. 1, 5, and 8. Yeah. And I would say 4. The Village Bride, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 1, 4, 5, and 8. And you can skip the rest of them. If you think you might be interested in them, watch them. I promote people liking these. I want people to like them. Just because I didn't doesn't mean you might not. You won't. So Tom Nelson in the chat could be, I'd have to rewatch too. Yeah, I don't know about the Bothan thing. Sulu was in 3. You mean episode? George Takei. In episode 3 or in 3 episodes? The Bride one. Okay, Carrie said that he was in the final one. Carrie could be wrong. So.
Wow.
Either way, and that, George Takei.
And that statement's recorded. I'm sorry, Eric. It was nice knowing you.
Carrie could be wrong. She has a long drive to come over here and throw me across the room. I'm not sure it'd be worth her trouble. True. If we weren't on opposite coasts, I'd be more careful with what I say, but I'm sure Carrie will forgive me. Before we wrap up the episode, let's talk about one other thing that just came out. And I thought maybe you guys, especially you, Tim, because I heard about this from you. I thought, you know, you guys would be all over this. I think it was yesterday. Apple Arcade, which is part of the, you know, the iOS infrastructure. It's a subscription service where you can either pay for like all the Apple stuff together, or if you just get this, it's like, I think $4.99 a month, and it's unlimited like premium games that you would otherwise have to purchase, not subscription based stuff or microtransactions and all that kind of stuff, but where you used to buy a game for like $1.99 or $4.99 or something like that. You subscribe to this and you get like A-list developer games.
Oh yeah.
And so this just released, it's Lego Star Wars Battles, and I was thinking it was gonna be another Lego Star Wars game. It's not at all. So
not in the classic sense of the Lego games.
Right, the gameplay is not. So the design, the vehicles, the characters, all that, exactly the same. But what it is it's kind of a capture the flag sort of thing. You have a ship on your side that is your base, and there's a ship on the other side of this playing field that is their base, your opponent, and it's all online stuff. And you build up energy points over time, and then you spend the energy to deploy troops of different types onto the playing field. And you can build towers too, and there are 5 different tower points, 2 on your side, 2 on the opposite side, and 1 in the middle. And the idea is you either destroy the opponent's base within the time limit, or whoever has the most towers remaining wins. And then through winning, you build up trophies and points, and then you can unlock more troops, you can upgrade your troops, you can get new units, new champions. Mm-hmm. So you start out with Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. When you go into battle, which side you play on, light side or dark side, is randomized. And when you win, you gain trophies. When you lose trophies, and that kind of determines your ranking. And so it tries to pair you up with other people of similar ranking. Right now, because it's new, I noticed that during busy times when there are a lot of people playing, it does a really good job of that. If you wake up at 3 in the morning and you decide to play a few rounds, you know, I could be 250 and I'm going against someone who's 20. Mm-hmm. You don't last long. but there have been times I've been 350 and I've lost to somebody who's like 175. And I've been like holding right around the 250 to 150 range. It goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down. And but it's a good game. There's definitely some strategy there. There's definitely, I've done more shouting at my iPhone in the last day or two than I have in a long time, certainly for, you know, non-technical reasons, than I have in a long time. It's a good game. Have you played it at all, Tim? You downloaded it a little bit before the show, right?
So I hadn't played it because I completely forgot about it. because I've been playing for the last few days the Castlevania game that came out on Apple Arcade.
Ah, yes.
Which is freaking fantastic. And so then, yeah, you texted me. I believe your text was, you have 28 minutes before the show. You need to download this and at least play the tutorial.
Yeah.
I played the tutorial. I did like 5 or 6 battles. Like, they don't take long.
No.
But it's really good. Easy to play in terms of the mechanics of it. I like it. Really, really great game. Fantastic game. Lots of fun.
Like you said, the rounds are maybe 3 minutes apiece, I think. I don't remember the exact time. And it's very fast paced. So
yeah.
I don't know how long it is because you lose track of it because it's so fast.
Yeah.
And the biggest challenge at first is going to be, wait a minute, this unit is weak against which other units now? And what's it strong against?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I can tell you that now that I've been playing maybe a day and a half, and I think I just unlocked the third planet, I can tell you, oh, there's a probe droid. Okay, I need to deploy 2 regular ground troopers and to take them. Oh, I got a tank coming at me. Throw a bunch of porgs down.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm actually rather pissed that Flock of Porgs is a deployable troop type.
I like it. I'm downloading the game right now because I ponied up for the Apple One thing while we were talking.
That was
I'm downloading it right now.
The first thing I saw and thought of Tim, I'm like, oh, he's going to love this.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah. One of the emotes that you can get, so you can't communicate directly with the other players. Number one, I cannot set it up to battle Lou. Okay. And that's with good reason, because if we did, like, I could agree to lose to Lou all the time to build Lou's ranking up, et cetera. You can kind of game the system. So it's completely random. But number two, if you're worried about privacy or like you've got young kids and you don't want them communicating with strangers online, like my ex and I have a rule about that with our son. There's no way to directly communicate with the other player. You can do little emotes like, you know, oh, shucks, or like, yeah, or whatever. One of them is Vader picking up a porg and throwing him off screen. So I thought, you know, Tim would like that one.
Oh, I'm all over that. Yeah,
but the porgs can basically swarm over top of a vehicle and disable it. You've got Tusken Raiders are really good against ground troops, but then they can't hit anything in the air. So if you've got, like, you can get a Duros guy with a jetpack and you can pick off melee units with it. So it's a lot of rock, paper, scissors. But
my question is, can you use Gungans to like smooth out the road ahead of you? Like put them in the low spots, and, you know, so they're not speed bumps.
Not in that exact way.
Okay.
But I do think you can unlock Gungans later in the game, though. I think Naboo is one of the planets later on, and you can do that. Yeah.
So this is the Lego Star Wars game on Apple Arcade, right?
Lego Star Wars Battles.
Okay, I've got it on my phone. I'm going to play it later.
There's definitely some strategy. Like, there were a couple of times where I advanced and I was just getting my butt handed to me. And I'm like, I was doing so good before. What am I doing wrong now? And I had to sit down and think, okay, I need to stop doing this sort of thing and I need to start doing that sort of thing. There's actually some good strategy to it.
Yeah.
And yet it's simple.
There really is.
It's casual, 3 minutes at a time.
Cool.
And you do feel like you're making progress. You've got unlockable things. The more you play, you can boost those timed unlockables. So you can get something that it unlocks in 2 hours and you get 3 things out of it. But if you play, the more towers even if you lose a round, as long as you hold a tower at the end of it, you get a point to boost that unlock from that tower.
Okay, cool.
So even if you're not doing wonderfully, you can still kind of, you know, so instead of unlocking 3 things with that one crate, you can get 5 items instead. So it's a lot of fun, though. If I would say that if you've been on the fence about Apple Arcade, this is one of those games that stands out as a potential reason to pick up Apple Arcade if you have an iOS device.
As does Castlevania. Even though this is not a Castlevania podcast,
there you go.
Maybe every other week we should consider it being a Castlevania podcast. However, the Castlevania one is really, really good.
Okay.
And are they better on the phone or on the iPad?
That is an excellent question. So the iPad, I'm a little bit bummed about this. You can only play in portrait mode on the iPad. And I'm very much the type of person, probably because of the case I have on my iPad, that I want everything in landscape mode. The only time I go portrait mode is if I'm reading a comic book. So this works great. I've got a 12.9 inch iPad Pro, a really old one. Don't get jealous. Like first generation. But it runs great on it. And it runs great on the iPhone. Like you don't have to worry. But well, I've got a Max. But I think even on a smaller model, it would run fine. You don't have to worry about like tapping the wrong things. The controls are really easy. There's little cards down at the bottom for the troops you want to deploy. You drag them where you want to deploy them. To build a tower, you tap on the tower location. It kind of glows and you build a tower. The controls are very, very simple. There's not any iOS device that this does not play well on.
Cool.
Yeah. Highly recommended. Probably, yeah. I would say this, probably one of the, probably the best Star Wars mobile game I played. Okay. There have been some good ones over the years, some that are no longer running because their servers were taken down and stuff like that. But I think this one feels the most like you're actually playing a game and you actually have to think your way through it and you're not just merely collecting things.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one last question on the gaming. Does it use your, what do they call it? The ID that Apple has
the
for your
Game Center ID.
Yeah, Game Center ID. Does. Yep. So if I play on a phone and go play with the iPad, I can pick up where I left off.
Exactly. And it'll synchronize your progress. You got nothing to worry about. I need to change my Game Center ID if I even can. When I signed up like ages ago, I used my real first and last name. And that's just not something you do. That's an immediate sign that, yeah, you're 47 years old in a world of a bunch of like, you know, millennials. Yeah. Kind of stand out like a sore thumb. So I got to see if I can change that. But synchronize progress across all your devices.
Cool.
So, and then don't forget the new versions of the Mac, you can run iOS apps on. So I think you can play this on your Mac as well. If you have an M1 Mac.
What a new M1 Mac. Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't even thought about that. I'm going to have to try that. Okay.
You can also play it on your Apple TV, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Really? That's cool.
So I'm guessing.
I noticed that last night.
And you can use a gamepad with it. And so therefore, I'm guessing you'd want to use a gamepad with your Apple TV. I don't think you're going to be able to use the remote for that. So, interesting. I'll have to try that out. All right. Well, that's all I've got. You guys have anything else before we sign off?
No.
All right.
I'm good.
Well, in that case, that's going to do it for this episode of Force Chatter. We will be back here in a few minutes. If you're hanging out live with us, we're going to do random chatter. We're going to do a lightning round and review show. And if you're not here in the chat room with us, you can be.
You should be.
You should be. Go to randomchatter.com/YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button on this video if you wouldn't mind. That would help us out a lot. And there's a notification button there. It looks like a little bell. That'll let you know when we're going live, when we post new videos. It's a good thing to click. So go ahead and do that. But, you know, if you don't want to do the video thing, you can go to randomchatter.com, get this podcast, get a lot of other great podcasts there. You can go to randomchatter.com/Discord and join our Discord server. We mentioned several discussions that we've been having about Star Wars Visions here in this episode. You can also go to, oh, my throat's starting to give out here. It's a good thing it's the end of the episode. randomchatter.com/store and pick up some t-shirts with the Force Chatter logo, Random Chatter logo, Guardians of the MCU logo, etc. So be sure to check that out.
I'm not wearing one tonight. Sorry.
Yeah, I went to grab one and instead I got the wrong one. I don't know if you guys can see. Let me move the microphone here. I actually like this shirt. OMG, it's R2-D2. I loved him in Star Trek. Yeah, it's actually, for our audio listeners, it's a picture of a Dalek from Doctor Who. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Force Chatter. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you again in a week.